What? Are you kidding me? Have you seen what's going on out there? It is just the worst.
Hello, everybody.
Hi.
Here we are. It's just the worst.
Episode number two.
Yes. And this is Valentina.
And Patty.
I'm the one with the annoying voice that I'm really trying to work on, friends.
And I'm the one with the sweaty balls voice.
She does. It's so seductive.
How are you doing?
This is NPR. Thank you for listening.
Yes.
How are you today?
I am doing okay. I'm actually super excited because the topic I picked today, literally I've been waiting for, I think it's actually 14 years, to have a podcast in order to talk about this motherfucker that we're going to talk about today.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, no.
I don't have any personal feelings about this at all or
clearly,
anything.
This is a very neutral take on some events.
So just so everybody knows, I grew up in Orange County, primarily a little bit of Los Angeles when I was but a wee tot. But most of my adolescence and teenage years were in Orange County.
Nice. OC.
The OC. And I have some very specific feelings about the place, which is why I no longer live there. And never will again. I know. It's very sad. But I was actually an adult when this happened. This was a case that came out in 2005, I think, is when I went to court. And it's the case of the Greg Heidel gang rape case.
What?
Yeah. And I don't know why it's his name that everybody really nails in on, but it's the Heidel rape case is what it's always called. But it was him and two of his friends, Kyle Knockreiner and Keith Spann.
I don't know this one.
Yeah, and it's really just a terrible case, but it was... I want to give a lot of credit to the OC Weekly, LA Times, OC Register. All did a great job covering it, and I got a lot of content from them on this story. And I remember when it happened, I read the OC Weekly religiously for these articles.
Articles, as if there's porn in it.
No, for these specific articles. Well, it is the OC Weekly. You never know. But one of their writers, R. Scott Moxley, just did an incredible job covering this case. Anyway, so the last bit of news I saw on these guys was Kyle Knockreiner and Greg Heidel were contesting the sentence that they had because they got... Listen, I wanted to start here for a reason.
Sorry.
Because there's this video clip. The first thing that I pulled up was this guy, Knockreiner, saying that he is really pissed off that he has to register as a sex offender when this is a rape case for the rest of his life. And he is quoted, he says... It is the having to register as a sex offender drops you down to the most degrading level ever. Okay, so this is where this guy's coming from. And this is just like such a good representation of just fucking entitlement and self-centeredness and never being taught about other people having feelings and
affluenza.
Bit of affluenza, yeah. And then Greg Heidel was also basically saying the same thing. Like he's being tortured for the rest of his life over
sentence. The Brock Turner case.
It's exactly. I mean, that reminded me so much of the Brock
Turner
case.
What was the horrible quote that the dad said that was like
20 minutes of action?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's exactly like that. And I don't know what happened to the third guy. I didn't see any news on him, but I wanted, okay, so let's talk about what these guys did to get the sentence.
Take me back
in
to the
first
beginning.
Place. I'm going to take you back to the beginning. They were convicted of sexual assault of a 16-year-old girl when they were all three 17.
Yep.
Her name was Elisa Kaplan. At the time, she was Jane Doe. They were trying to keep her name out of the news, out of the press, because this case was just so gnarly. Greg Heidel and his two buddies grew up in Orange County. Greg Heidel's dad was an assistant sheriff to Mike Corona, which is like known back then was that they were just a super corrupt organization, the sheriff's department. And he basically paid for that position to be the assistant sheriff. So he lived in Newport Beach. He was very wealthy as an assistant sheriff, which I thought was pretty interesting. I guess he made a ton of money selling used cars.
That doesn't sound...
Anyway, true. They both ended up being arrested for...
fucking with the case.
Yeah, witness tampering. Not this case, but other cases. Oh. Witness tampering, conspiracy, mail fraud, like all kinds of terrible things. So they were not good people. Nope. Clearly did not have a good influence on their children. But anyway, so Greg and his two buddies knew this girl, Elisa. She lived in San Bernardino, and they invited her down to their dad's house in Newport Beach for a party. They'd hung out with her before. In fact, you know, there's a lot of talk about her background. She was a straight A student. She was a cheerleader or something, but she also had kind of this wild side. So she was a little sexually promiscuous. Ooh. The story was that she'd actually had sex with two of them before. And that she went, you know, she went to this party thinking these were her friends and she was going to have fun and it was a party. She got there, there was just the three of them and her. The boys started giving her drinks. They were hanging out, in the garage. Mm-hmm. They plied her with alcohol and drugs until she was really just out of it. When she was really good and wasted, the boys pulled out a video camera. Mm. And they started to record the sexual assault on her. So they got her naked. They threw her up on, they put her on the couch. I think they raped her, all three of them. Then they put her up on the pool table. They were laughing. They were joking around. They were listening to gangster rap. They were throwing gang signs. As they shoved a pool cue, lit cigarette, juice can, and Snapple bottle into her.
And that, where, this is at a party?
This was just at the guy's dad's house, who happened to be out of town. They told her it was a party. I don't know if there ever was any more people there and they just stayed later or what happened. But they anally and vaginally raped her with all these different objects.
Oh my God.
And then in her story, she's actually written a book, but she said two of the boys pressed down on the outside of her abdomen, feeling where the pool cue was inside of her.
Oh God.
Until they hit her bladder and she urinated all over herself. So this is all on video,
good
right?
God.
Yeah. So they were just having a great time. They thought it was really funny. They night ended, whatever. The next day they go over to a friend's house. Some friends who had rented a beach house for the summer, and they showed the video to some friends.
Oh, like you do.
Like you do. Because that was so awesome. So the guy whose house was, he says, I watched about 10 minutes of the video and then I went surfing. Oh. So it's like totally reminds me of like Bret Easton Ellis and like all of those just totally like less than zero. Don't give a shit about anybody. Yes. Nothing matters.
That's gross.
So that's like this group of people, right? Around dusk, Roger said Hadel and Nachreiner returned to the house and they were looking in cabinets and under beds for the camera because they had left it there. That's how important this was to them. They forgot the fucking camera at this guy's house. He says they were both apprehensive and kind of shaky. So they were clearly nervous about having lost this video. But what happened was this girl, Lindsay, had seen the video. And she was afraid because she thought the girl in the video was dead. That's how fucked up this girl was. 16-year-old girl was so fucked up that this other girl thought she was dead and that the boys were practicing necrophilia on her, right? So she took the camera, wrapped it up in a towel, and smuggled it into her car.
With the tape in it?
With the tape. I guess there was tapes in it back in those days.
I don't know.
Yeah, they're not digital.
Yeah.
Anyway, so she took the whole thing, and she gave it to a law enforcement. So she gave it to the police. At the same time, so the same next day, Elisa Kaplan wakes up in the passenger seat of her car. It's parked near her parents' house. Her clothes were disheveled. Her vomit was in her hair. So she was a total friggin' mess. Right. And she had no memory of what happened the night before, except she was really sore.
Oh, gosh. Right?
So she didn't know until a few days later when the police show up at her house.
I can't even imagine.
They had gotten the video. They went to her parents. They thought she was dead as well. They went to her parents' home. They wanted to make sure she was alive. And when they found out that she was, they let her know what had happened. And that's how she discovered that she'd been gang raped on video by three of her so-called friends.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Did she have to... They didn't show her the video, though.
Oh, she watched the video, but I don't think at that time.
Oh, Christ.
So, of course, the case went to trial. The boys got arrested. It was really... The fact that there was a videotape of it and that there was such blasé attitude about it, really made the case have a lot of notoriety in that area. And not only that, but the boys had a lot of money and she didn't. So they had, you know, spent millions of dollars on their defense. They did things like they hired a private detective. They were trying really hard to shame her out of testifying, and they wanted to paint her as a wannabe porn star that was faking being unconscious. So that was the boys' initial defense, was that she was totally conscious. She was just faking. And then I go back to what they shoved a pool cue in her and felt her abdomen until they could feel the pool cue, and then she peed on herself, and that's she stayed totally unconscious for that. I don't think anybody can do that. So they spent a ton of money. They did things like give out her phone number, like publicly telling people to call her house and threaten her. They put out flyers all around her neighborhood asking people with horrible stories about her to call them and tell them. They were urging people to just do all kinds of horrible things to her to just really scare her away from these allegations. Which I don't even know if it would have mattered because they had a freaking video.
Yeah. I don't think it matters what she says at that point.
She wasn't aware. So I don't know what her testimony even would have been able to add to the court case. Right. But she did end up testifying for days. She was dragged through the mud because she had been promiscuous in the past, because she had consented to things with the boys before.
Yeah.
And this was before, like, anybody was really aware of all that, right? Like, date rape and all that. I mean, it seems like that's been around forever, but I don't think the awareness was anything like it is today.
Oh, yeah.
They went all the way through the first trial. They got a hung jury. So it was a mistrial.
How on earth could you have a hung jury for that?
I don't know. I don't. So the boys never showed any remorse, and they still don't. But she got really screwed up over the fact that it was a hung jury. So she got really into drugs and alcohol. She ended up really strung out on meth. She got kicked out of her home because her parents were like, we can't help you kill yourself.
Really?
And then it went back to another court case. And the second time around, the boys, I have boys written in quotations, were convicted, not of rape, but of sexual assault. So Hadel was convicted on 6 felony charges, Knockreiner on 4, and Spann on 5. They all three got a whole whopping 6 fucking years in prison.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's just horrifying. Though she is pretty awesome, and I'll go into her story a little more afterwards, but she did end up saying, you know, yeah, 6 years wasn't enough time, but the fact that they got convicted at all is a win for sexual assault cases. And that she was really lucky to even be able to face them in court and get the sentence that she did. In any case, they're all out on parole now. They got out on parole early. Of course they did. And they all started contesting their convictions, saying that she was not unconscious and she was not injured. Meanwhile, she's like, you know, spiraling out of control, trying to manage her feelings and her memories about this thing happening. She was ostracized by her friends at school, right? Because they're like, those guys are our friends, you're lying, like the whole fucking thing. So Kyle did an interview with some news outlet down there, and I think it was in 2015 as he was contesting his case. And he said that he has to wear this ankle bracelet, he has to register as a sex offender wherever he goes. And that the ankle bracelet is really, really ruining his quality of life.
I'm so sorry.
He only has to wear it till he's off parole, too. So it's like a few years. But that's too long for him. He doesn't think any of this is fair. He, you know, it wasn't his fault. He just trusted the wrong people. He got too drunk, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Please.
He quoted that he said that the ankle bracelet really, it was a pain because he had to charge it twice a day. And in order to charge it, you have to sit really close to the wall because they make the charging cord really short. So he says that they intentionally do that to make his life hell.
That's fantastic.
Like, that is pretty great. I'm like, that is pretty awesome. They should make it so you have to charge it 5 times a day. Just a really short.
It just has to be plugged in.
That would be amazing. Find some little battery pack that you could just carry in your pocket.
Exactly.
But then he also said he can't even go swimming or surfing. Like, so he can't even enjoy the fact that he lives close to the beach.
Poor guy.
Yeah, I know. It's really sad. And this is the guy, you know, he says that he has now suffered the most degrading thing imaginable. And this is the same guy who inserted the pool cue into a limp Jane Doe, both in her vagina and anus, was running around dancing, flashing gang signs, and mugging for the camera as all of this was going on to this poor girl right next to him. Yeah.
A great guy.
I know. And he, like, for some reason, he probably should have never done that interview. They said that part of the interview was that he was not to talk about that night. And
what else do they want to talk to
him about? I know. And so he didn't really do very well at not talking about that night.
No.
So he just had this horrible press. And they took this case. They took it to the, you know, up to the U.S. Circuit Court. Like, they really wanted. And they've gotten shut down every single time. So
good.
Greg Hadle is also doing the same thing. His claim was that he had poor legal counsel that directed him in the wrong way. So he, you know, but he's also been denied by all the courts saying, no, dude, you're going to have to register as a sex offender. And quite frankly, if they were my neighbors, I'd want to know, especially if I had a daughter.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, if worst case scenario, they made some really fucking bad decisions and were super violent about it and really.
Yeah. I mean, don't care how drunk you are. Like, that's not. Like, I've been very drunk in my life, and I've never wanted to.
I'm really drunk right now.
I'm pretty wasted right now. And my desire to, like, physically hurt and rape people is pretty much non-existent.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really increase, no matter how much I drink. I feel like that's kind of a poor excuse. I'm willing to cry a lot more and donate to animal charities on an absurd basis. But that's
Have you ever bought anything crazy because you were drunk?
Oh, God. Everything.
Everything I own is because I was drunk. Everything I own.
Have you not seen my house? It's just full of stuff. Yes, I ordered myself a Harry Potter loot crate last time I was drunk.
What?
It's like, you know those makeup box subscriptions? Sorry, this just took a really light turn in the middle of a terrible story. But no, it's just a box of stuff that's all like Harry Potter. And you get to say what your house is, so they send you all your... Anyways.
Totally. Okay, so that's what normal people do when they're drunk.
Yes.
Not what these three boys do when they're
no.
drunk.
No.
No, not even close. Yeah.
Don't.
So anyway, they're all out and about now, down living in Marietta, and now they're in Landers, which I'm sure probably horrifies them all, being from Newport.
That's punishment enough.
I know. Poor boys. And they can't really get good jobs. And it was great because in the interview, he talks about how he's working for a furniture. He sells furniture, and that he didn't tell his boss that he's a registered sex offender. Like, well, probably knows now. I don't know why you're putting yourself on TV.
I think you did a very good job talking about
that. But that, you know, they'll never be able to get good jobs, et cetera, et cetera. They can't live close to schools. They can't hang around kids. It's really just debilitating, you know, and just no thought at all about
what do they think their punishment should be?
They don't think they did anything wrong.
Oh my God.
They think that they acted as stupid kids who got carried away in the moment, but that she was super into it. That's what they keep saying, that she was, you know, that she was an active participant in this and that.
Yeah, active in.
Like, nobody can pretend they're dead through having a cigarette stuck in you. Sorry, it just doesn't happen. So anyway, there are people, I think I have a cold black heart. They're just seriously never even, yeah, they don't even have a heart to be cold and black.
No.
They're just awful people. By the way, disclaimer, this show was just our own personal opinions in case we can get in any trouble knowing that they have millions of dollars of attorneys somewhere back there.
That's
though
right.
I don't know if they
allegedly
do anymore because the elder Hadle is now passed. He's deceased. He died in
all of the ways of saying death. He passed. He deceased. He's died.
He kicked the bucket. He met his maker.
Bought the farm.
But prior to that, he was going to go to federal prison for witness tampering or mail fraud or something, sort of white crime, white collar crime, not white crime.
Basically
the same thing. And he avoided federal prison by testifying against Sheriff Corona. So he testified against the guy who got him the job in the first place.
Brilliant.
Yeah, and so that guy went to jail. I love it when sheriffs go to jail. It's pretty much the greatest thing ever. I know. Mm-hmm. But great for all of us to laugh. And then he had to pay a fine for cheating on his income taxes. So he didn't go to jail, but he did die, so now he's dead.
Oh, that's good.
Bye-bye. And Greg Hadle is living somewhere in the Inland Empire.
Ugh.
I know. Which, that's to a boy who grew up death. In Newport Beach, that is kind of worse than death.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's worse than death in general.
I'd rather be dead in California than alive in Arizona.
That's Valentina. You can email her.
Yep. At... That is a direct quote from Lucille Bluth.
I'm sure almost every place has a lovely, lovely... part to it.
It's a joke, people. Deal with that.
Anyway.
I didn't write it.
She didn't write it. Yeah, well. Alisa. Let's get back to Alisa and what's happened with her.
Yeah, what's going on?
She is a fucking badass. So she initially just kind of fell apart, right? Like any of us would, trying to cope with all of that and having her friends turn on her and not knowing, you know, what she was going to do and just getting caught up in alcohol and drugs and then having her parents throw her out. But eventually she got her shit together. She became a victim's advocate. She studied criminal justice. She has now written a book called, what is it called? Room for Hope. Still Room for Hope.
Oh, nice.
That came out a couple years ago. When she, in answer to Knockgrinder's claim about his degradation, she responded, "Try having your entire life and medical history put out in the open for the public to see and slander your name more. Then top it off with 24 jurors between two different trials, lawyers, judges, law enforcement, and many others watching a videotape of your lifeless, naked body being sexually assaulted and abused."
Yeah,
now that is true degradation. So just what a fucking badass to be able to come back and just say it like it is. Kind of like the Brock Turner victim too, right?
She
like,
was incredible.
Just so eloquent, so strong. She, you know, she said that she'll never be healed and this is going to be a part of her forever. She'll never get back the part of her that they stole. But that it doesn't affect the way she feels about herself now, that she's happy with who she is. She still goes to counseling. She's still depressed a lot of the time, but she's getting stronger every day. It's just so neat that she took that whole thing, turned it around, and became somebody who could help other women get through it.
Yeah.
And that she decided to come out with her actual name, just not be a Jane Doe anymore, and to really stand up to these freaking scumbags who literally have been pissing me off for the last 15 years that they exist on this planet and that they are walking around
annoyed about their
sexual offender. And I mean, I get it. Some of those sexual offender registry things are a little over the top, like you pee in public and you can be right, or like she was 16, those kinds of things. It's like, okay, I get it, maybe we should rethink that. But these three guys, I think that it's a probably a good thing that we know that's who they are. And I think that's actually, as long as she has to live with those memories, they should have to live with that freaking moniker, because they are fucked up and literally the worst kind of human beings that could walk on this planet. And just that kind of attitude. And I grew up, there's tons of nice people in Newport Beach, but those are the kinds of people that stuck in my memory about that place. And why I don't want to live there ever again, even if it is beautiful. Mm-hmm. So that's my story of entitlement and affluenza and total lack of care for others and just pretty much the worst people that humanity. Just
humanity
has
gone wrong.
Yeah, you know, and
that's terrible.
No,
oh my god,
it's the fucking worst story. And when it was happening, it was just unbelievable that to find out that you were raped because police show up at your door to find out if you're still alive based on a videotape, and then have them try to say that no, you were actually
into
wanting
it.
To be a porn star who was into necrophilia porn, like.
She's so good at playing that. You guys, watch this. You can just put anything in there.
Yeah, exactly. So, total scumbags. Wish they'd gone to jail for longer. Wish they'd suffered more consequences while they were in jail and had met some people who were really badasses. But
did anything terrible happen?
It doesn't sound like it, unfortunately.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, they probably wouldn't talk about it if it had. But I think they were probably in lower level because they were from wealthy families and they did have good lawyers. And so they probably got to
Where did
go
they serve time?
Oh, God, I can't remember what the prison was called, but it wasn't like Chowchilla or Pelican Bay or where they should have gone. It was probably like Chino or something where it's just pretty low level. For anybody that knows anything about the sort of level of prison.
I grade my prisons all the time.
Go watch some Locked Up, and then you will learn about the levels of severity of the certain prisons around the country.
That's true.
It's a good show. Oh. Teach you all about the shoe.
Yes.
And this goes back to my much younger days with the, he is an orange band and he's a red bander and he's a different.
What is that? I don't know what those are.
That was all the level of dangerous you were. So like the red banders in prison were like the worst.
And where did they wear the bands?
I think it was actually their jumpsuits. I'm not really sure because I'd never been in jail. I just remember my friends who had been there for totally didn't do anything wrong. It was they were innocent. But they would talk about like, oh yeah, he's a red bander now, or it was all the prison talk. That was all the rage when I was a kid. Like, so clearly I was hanging out with the best people that Newport Beach and its neighboring provinces had.
Well, it does sound like there were worse.
Were definitely worse. Yeah. Worse. Yeah.
Anyway, that's intense.
I know. Well, the whole reason I wanted to be a part of a Just the Worst podcast so I could just fucking
my work is done. This is our last episode. Thank you, everyone.
Fun.
Carry on.
I am now signing off.
I'm out of here.
Just the Worst.
That's quite a story. I cannot come close to that amount of insanity.
You could have. Somebody slacked on their...
No.
Somebody just got sidetracked with other stories.
Somebody did. I did. I get very sidetracked. I can't help that. Wine makes it hard.
What makes it hard?
Wine.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I did realize that a fun topic, in a horrible way,
in a crazy turn, we're going to now do something fun.
In people that are terrible... But we don't realize it. Like famous figures that are actually terrible. But it gets buried and we forget about it and we gloss over. So my forefront example of that is a Mr. John Lennon.
Lemon or Lennon?
Lennon.
Like the Beatle?
Like the Beatle.
Mr. Peace, Love, and Understanding?
Mr. Yoko Ono.
Mr. Yoko Ono.
All You Need Is Love. Mr. Terrible.
Imagine All the People.
Terribly sad assassination. I don't advocate assassination, even if you are kind of a dickhead.
Well, he
was actually a dickhead.
What?
Yeah. So, most famously, I think he hit women quite frequently. He admittedly, and he's confessed like numerous times in numerous interviews that like, when he was younger, he couldn't handle his temper, and he definitely took a lot of frustration and anger out on women by hitting them, and men too. Apparently.
How did they keep this so quiet, I wonder?
I mean, in reading about it, it doesn't really sound like it was. Like, I literally just started Googling John Lennon actually terrible. I have 654,000 results.
Wow.
Yeah. There's all these lists. Top 10 unpleasant things about John Lennon. 11 things you may not know about John Lennon. Remembering the John Lennon everyone forgets. And then, of course, some people.
Remembering the John Lennon everyone forgets.
Yeah.
Or never even heard about.
Yeah. And then some people are like, John Lennon wasn't saintly or evil. He was human.
Do you think there was anybody that like got a black eye from John Lennon and took a picture of it and was like, dude, he gave me a black eye.
I have no idea.
Like, that's their memorabilia from him?
His wife. His first wife was this woman, Cynthia.
Is that who he had that little
Julian? Okay. Yes. And he was apparently a huge dick to Julian.
Well, I think Julian was a little bitter, wasn't he? I thought he was...
Oh, he's very bitter.
Yeah.
Because I guess John was annoyed that Cynthia got pregnant and he felt like she trapped him into this marriage. So he was a bit of an extra shit to Julian. Just really hard on him and... now Julian says that, you know, Paul McCartney was actually more of a father to him than his own dad ever was. And it wasn't until he hooked up with Yoko Ono, who he hooked up with and got pregnant while he was still married to Cynthia. So that's awesome. Even though he likes to lie and say that they met at an art exhibit and mutually fell in love.
Can I just say that this is a good story about why not to get involved with a musician?
Oh, there's always, I mean, that's always a good message, I think.
Personal experience.
Yeah. They're most artists are a little dodgy. Not that I'm justifying it.
Yeah.
But, so Yoko Ono gets pregnant, but then she miscarries, but then he decides to leave his first wife. And then they do wind up having, children together, Sean. And I guess he was so nice to his, what he considered his legitimate child, which is ridiculous.
Oh, it's like a Steve Jobs situation.
A little bit.
Yeah.
These fucking guys, I tell ya. He was a heroin addict, which I didn't know at all.
There was one whole album, right, that was a little angrier than the rest. That was
they said he didn't even help that much on Sgt. Pepper. He was pretty much like high and fucked up and not even helping.
Yeah, that sounds like a heroin addict.
Right? Mm-hmm. Oh, they're the worst.
Talking about the worst.
Seen in the worst. Oof. Addicts. Oof, am I right?
Drug addicts are the worst. Just watch Intervention one time. And
I love it.
Oh.
I love Intervention so much.
It's such a great show. But I don't understand, little sideways segue here.
How aren't aware that they're on the show?
Yeah. How many friggin' documentaries about addiction do they think are being made? Like, right. It just seems like at this point you'd be like, as soon as the camera crew walked up to you, you'd be like, dude,
no,
I'm on Intervention, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, who makes just documentaries about people on drugs and then is like, okay, keep doing drugs. See you later. Bye. Pretty sure the point of most of them is to cure them of it.
Yeah.
But anyway. I guess they're not watching TV. They're trying to.
Dude, that's all they do aside from hustle for money. They just. They probably maybe don't watch Intervention, though. I would think that. I would be super interested in that because
right?
It'd be like, oh, look at all these dumbasses getting.
And number one, you might get pointers.
True. Right. Yes.
There's that.
Or you'd feel better about yourself because look at how terrible those people are doing.
That's why I watch it because
I'm still totally functioning.
Because I love the drunks on it. Because the heroin people, they just shoot up and then they're just quiet for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then they just fall over.
But then they whine a lot. That's the thing that's really annoying about heroin addicts is they're just such fucking whiners at the end of the day.
The drunks are the best.
Drunks are the best.
So there's one, I'll have to look it up, but it's this woman, probably in her 40s, short hair, Midwestern-y, and she only drinks the little vodka bottles. So like that
the
sound,
airplane
yeah. So that sound of them like popping the top off is like her favorite sound. But I mean, number one, that's super expensive.
Yeah.
And number
she
two,
must be
like
stealing them.
Yeah, like get a flask, lady. I don't. Whatever.
You could just get that one bottle and just.
No, yeah, I mean, you could just like refill your little bottles. I don't know what's going on with you. But yeah, that was a great episode because she's sitting outside one night and just randomly starts like yelling straight up at the sky. God. Why did you do that? Like,
no. There has never been a group of people that have been more self-pitying than drug addicts and alcoholics.
Oh, yeah.
Seriously. So I assume that John Lennon was one of those.
Probably.
Yeah, he would have been a good candidate for Intervention.
Yes.
Had they had it in the 60s.
Yeah, I don't think they were really on board with that.
I don't think they knew that drugs were addictive in the 60s.
Yes. He was a choir boy. And it was a Boy Scout. Those things, those values didn't last.
No, but it seems fitting.
He hated his own voice. That's cool. He didn't like any of their records.
The Beatles records?
Yeah, apparently.
But he made so many.
He was the only Beatle who never became a full-time vegetarian.
Wow, he's a horrible human being.
And I like that this is just one of the facts about he loved to play Monopoly. Oh, well then. Dick City. Oh, that's horrible. But then it does go on to say that as long as he owned Boardwalk and Park Place, he was happy. Even if he lost, as long as he had Boardwalk and Park Place in his possession, he was happy.
That is so bizarre that is like a known fact about
this
all-time
like,
famous musician.
If I ever get famous, like what's going to be like the weird thing that people are like, Oh, and she never, I don't know. She hates showering.
She hates showering.
Pretty much everybody knows that, actually.
Yeah. That is not a surprise.
At any moment, I have at least 80% wine, 15% dry shampoo, 3% regret.
3% regret. That's why I'm sitting across the room.
2% Italian. No, it's actually way worse than that. he was a terrible driver. He totaled his Aston Martin in 1969 on a trip to Scotland with his wife, Yoko, his son, Julian, and Kyoko Ono's daughter.
Who's Kyoko?
Ono's daughter.
Oh, Kyoko Ono's daughter. Not Kyoko Ono.
Oh, yeah. Okay. This is the height of journalistic ability on this website. So then he always had a chauffeur. And this is actually obviously an article that's not necessarily about how terrible he was. He used to sleep in a coffin sometimes.
That is so weird.
I know it is.
Like, I mean, I would expect the goth kids of today to do things like that. But John Lennon, like, was he the first goth? Is that what they're trying to say?
He was whatever was cool at the time. I did read an article that was lambasting him for just kind of jumping on whatever trend was happening at the time. Like when Elvis was famous, then it was all about, you know, the Fonz look with the slick back hair and the white shirt and the leather jacket. And then the hippies came along, so then he was all into the 60s counterculture, blah blah blah.
So he's just like a poser?
That's apparently what the haters say.
Wow. That is
sadly the last photograph of him ever taken was the one of him signing his album for Mark David Chapman, who's the guy that wound up shooting him hours later.
I wonder if he'd ever hit Mark David Chapman's sister or something. What was the story behind why he killed him? There was a reason. Some kind of side.
It wasn't the one that was like for Jodie Foster's love.
No, that was Reagan. Was Reagan.
Yeah. I don't know. That's a good question. I'll have to follow that up. I have to have
I can't remember.
An information corner where I do my
remember
research.
Last episode where we talked about something we didn't really know about.
Here's what happens when you actually research. Here's what happens when you write things down. Let's try this. Wait, where is this? Let's look at more unpleasant facts about John Lennon. Yes, we regularly beat women, regularly beat children. He was horrible to
wait, people. Regularly beat children?
Julian, he was
like
really,
his own child.
Yeah, he was okay. Really yeah.
Not just random.
I don't think he just
children.
Walked down the street just punching out kids. Well, not that there's anything wrong with that, but
sometimes they deserve it.
Yeah, emotionally abused Julian as well. And apparently one time, so he runs. So Cynthia is Julian's mom, the first wife. But then, of course, he finds Yoko and just loses his mind and gives everything for her. So then he actually, like, bounced out of their lives for a few years. But then after they reconnected, he was still a dick to Julian. And this story says one time Julian giggled and Lennon shouted back, "I hate the way you fucking laugh." And Julian was not yet a teenager at the time.
What a dick.
I know. Oh, that's just kind of rude.
How do we make everybody aware of what an asshole he was? Because clearly he should not be as well regarded as he is.
No, I feel like he's up there with like Martin Luther King and like social justice.
Yeah.
Like, no, he is actually quite terrible, everybody.
Right.
He was a big liar. He liked to embellish everything in his life.
Like he needed to. He seems to have had a fairly interesting life. He probably could have just gone with reality.
Well, like, apparently he grew up quite just middle class.
Oh.
Normal. And yeah. Pretended that he was, like, super poor from Liverpool.
People do that for some reason.
He, like, posed with people that were politically involved, but he never actually was. I think the only thing he actually ever did was give money to the Black Panthers, which super not good, actually.
Yeah.
Mindless conformist. That's another...
Which is, like, so opposite of what you would think of for John Lennon.
Right, like, he's
a
so
mindless
different
conformist,
and cool.
Really? No.
No.
Is this to say that Paul McCartney was actually the revolutionary and cool
probably.
Guy? Because that's weird.
I'd stand by that. I got a big crush on him. But then it turns out that This leads you down a rabbit hole of people who are terrible, who are not known for being terrible.
Well, let's make sure that we don't ruin future episodes by True. Getting too far into those. But
spoiler alert, Mother Teresa, terrible. Gandhi, awful. That's just
a quick preview.
This is your name, too. Whoa, looking at that, people. Come on, sheeple. Wake up and learn the truth.
Well, I would venture to say that so many religious figures that we all think are so awesome are maybe not.
Well, I mean, number one, they're human, which means you're automatically terrible.
Which means you're on. Yes, that's true.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Nobody's that great.
So unfortunate.
Yeah, so I'm just here to blow the lid off of your heroes.
That's awesome. I appreciate that. It's Thank better you. Not to have heroes.
As long as no one says talk shit about Forrest Gump. Hoo-hoo.
What?
I don't want to hear it. He's my favorite historical figure.
Forrest Gump or Tom Hanks?
Forrest Gump. And I went to meet the president again.
Well, I don't know if anybody has anything bad to say about Forrest Gump.
No, he was pure of heart.
He really kind of was. Unlike Jenny, the slut. Oh,
we have a lot of Robin Wright in this podcast.
I am a big Robin Wright fan.
She looms large in our
universe. She does. Well, you know, Princess Bride was
everything.
You know, it was everything. It is everything. It's so great. Her, Carrie Elwes, what more could you really need?
How do you say it?
Carrie Elwes?
Is that how you say it?
I think so.
You know what I always think is weird is that he never really took off as like a heartthrob, but he's fucking gorgeous in that movie.
Yeah.
But he went on to do like Kiss the Girls.
And oh, yeah. He played the creepo.
And then he played this new stepdad in Liar Liar with Jim Carrey. Which is a movie that
it's
a Jim Carrey movie that I actually
love.
Well,
don't forget his seminal role in Robin Hood,
Men in Tights. The only Mel Brooks movie I don't like.
It was so bad.
I know. How do you go? What? Blazing Saddles, Spaceballs, and then Robin Hood, Men in Tights. Dude.
You know, everybody has that part in their career that they're not super proud of. I will give him one.
I'm full of fun facts. Did you know that his son Max Brooks is the one that wrote World War Z? Popular book about zombies.
What are you trying to say?
It turned into a movie starring a Mr. Brad Pitt.
I don't know if I ever saw that movie.
I think the movie version is terrible, but I heard the book was really good. But I heard there's a chapter in the book where they are trying to figure out how to fight these fucking zombies, so they decide maybe they can use dogs.
Huh?
Yeah, and apparently it's not a pretty chapter to read, so I've been advised to skip it if I ever do read the book.
Never let the dog die. That's the rule, isn't it?
I know.
I thought that was a rule. I thought that was a well-established.
It should be. Well, you know, there's that website, Does the Dog Die? Little plug for you, friends. DoesTheDogDie.com. You can go there, type in the name of the movie you're watching, and see if the animals that you're
connecting to. Is that to know whether you just want to turn it off right then, or what?
Well, I feel like it's better if you know that it's coming or not. Like, I remember watching Django Unchained, and they shoot the horse, like, in the temple in the first, like, 3 minutes. And I was like, oh, good Lord in heaven. And Game of Thrones. Oh, my
God. Oh, my God. That fight scene, that war scene at the end of the whatever season. It wasn't
the one where
he
just hacks off the horse's head from, like, the withers. Remember that? The mountain?
I plopped it out.
That mountain. Yeah, it was the Hound's brother.
Yeah.
The one that who's now a zombie.
What happened?
Speaking of zombies, tie it all back in.
Like, I'm not sure I saw the episode where he became a zombie.
Yes, because Cersei's, is it Pycelle, the old guy? I don't think Pycelle's the wizard. He's not really a wizard. He's like a alchemist, but he's like down there fucking around in his little lab, and I think he puts the mountain back together. And that's why, like, the only times you ever see him is like through his armor, and he's always kind of like purple. I think because he's dead.
Mm. Interesting.
They really haven't done a lot of revealing on him.
No, they really haven't. But I hope his brother ends up killing him one day.
I would like that to happen. I love the Hound.
Yeah.
I really love a lot of people that are probably going to die in the next.
Well, that's how that show
Well, it's
goes.
Not going to be till 2018, so.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, they haven't even started filming the next season yet. Which means, A, I still have time to get on it. So that's cool. But it's a long time to wait.
To get cast?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Did you not know I was going to do that?
I didn't know that was a goal.
No, really, my goal is to be one of the writers. Like, how awesome to go to Morocco or Norway or any of these places where they're filming Gladiator or Troy or Game of Thrones. And your job is just to, like, give writing lessons to Brad Pitt or to Jaime Lannister. Who, that's just his real name. I'm not even going to pronounce his other name. And you just teach him to ride, and then you just ride around with them all day. That's the best. How do you get that job?
I don't know.
I've been in the worst world for
a I'm going to venture years. To guess that this actually ties right back to our affluenza / entitlement thing, and I'm guessing you have to know someone to get those jobs.
It does turn out that that's pretty true for everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
it is kind of all who
But
you
I'm
know.
Like, I wonder if I could be a stunt rider now at my advanced age of 87.
Dude, I couldn't. I fell off the other day.
Woo!
This is going on a super.
P.S. We're both lifelong horse riders. That's actually how we met.
Yeah, and I bounced right up off the ground. It felt great. I felt fine.
No.
And then the next day I was like, holy shit, I can't move my shoulders. Everything's sore. Anyway.
That's the worst part. Once you start to realize your own mortality. That was the worst part about getting older.
Yeah.
Especially taking time off and
going back to it. Well, snowboarding, everything. Like, all kinds of activities that all of a sudden I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, I feel like
I could really get hurt.
I feel like I'm just done with the things. Like,
yeah.
I'm not going to learn anything new at this point.
Well, at this point, too, we're supposed to actually be good at stuff. So, like, trying something new is really hard because you feel like you should already, like, oh, I should have done this.
Oh, there's an amazing meme about that.
Oh, is there?
Oh, fuck. Yes, it's like, I feel like my irrational desire to be good at everything the absolute first time I try it is actually getting in the way of me learning new things.
I would agree with that.
It's true.
But not so for podcasting, because we are gonna
We're
winging it, and we're going to keep working on it till we get better. So we appreciate everybody who's listening and hanging in.
Yes.
Even if we get sidetracked with weird banter about horses and other things.
True. You know how that goes.
It happens.
It does.
It might get better. It might not.
We're just pretend we're all just sitting around. We're just sitting outside doing some day drinking, shooting the shit. I'm going to tell you this crazy story about John Lennon. You're going to tell me
being
this horrible
asshole.
Story about these rapey guys.
The rapey guys in Newport Beach.
Rapey guys in Newport Beach.
Yeah. So that's
episode
pretty much number
vibe.
2 of Just the Worst. And we hope you tune in again.
Download again. I don't know what the words are anymore.
Download. Yeah. Download more episodes.
Hope you press play once more, friends.
Again, we want to thank Valentina doesn't think anybody
We're not winning awards. You need to stop thanking people at the end.
Really?
Do people do that?
Yeah.
Oh, thanks.
Thanks, everyone who has. Go listen to Sofa King Podcast. Go listen to podcasts we listen to. Join their Facebook groups. Join our Facebook group.
Yeah.
Or follow
Just
our
the
page.
Pod.
We don't actually have a group yet. Just the Worst Pod on Twitter at JTW.
Pod.
Instagram's
kind of the same. Email justtheworstpod@gmail. We spared no expense. Got that fancy.
Oh, you know what else you could do is you could download all our episodes on iTunes and rate and review us kindly, please.
Yeah.
If you have bad reviews, just go ahead and email those to us. We'll be happy to take
them
into account.
Do it like that.
But you don't need to put it out there in the public. That's just rude.
Yeah, like, I hate when there's people at work that are like, I've been pissed off at Valentina about this thing for 3 months, but I'm just going to tell everyone else about it and let her keep doing it.
Yeah.
Don't be
we
that girl.
Don't. Or guy.
Or guy.
Yeah.
Guys, I feel like, are actually more...
They're pretty much, they're much better at just
They'll just punch
it like
you
it is,
in
right?
the arm and be like, you fucked that up.
Yeah.
But yeah, let us know.
All right. So, girls be more like the boys. Just punch us
No,
in the face.
That's a horrible.
That's what she said.
No, everyone be you. You're the
everyone
only
you
that's out there.
You are, and you are not the worst, and we appreciate you listening.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Yeah.